Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, if you would just follow along. It says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help me as I preach this evening. Please give me your strength. Lord, please help it to what is said this evening, Lord, to be an encouragement, a challenge, and to go forward for you, to stand for you until you come back for us or you take us back one by one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This evening I'm going to speak on the subject of stand and fight. Stand and fight. In our nowadays, seems like it's getting harder and harder to take a stand for the Lord. And I know that throughout history, it's never been easy, you know, and obviously you get far enough back and it was, you know, they were being persecuted, and I understand that too. But in America in 2021, it seems like it, yes, we're not, being threatened with our lives. But we're trying to be encouraged, if you will, to just get along. I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, we as Christians, we need to stand and fight. Not that we're looking for being cantankerous and we want to just pick a fight with any, you know, at the drop of a hat. I'm not talking about that. Walking around angry. But you know what? We need to know what we stand for, and then we need to take a stand for it. You know, obviously, and those things are separate. We need to know what we stand for. What do we believe? And that's not really what we're talking about tonight, but we need to know what we believe, and then we need to be willing to take a stand for it. And I believe as the coming of the Lord draws closer, it's going to be harder and harder to take that stand. And we're going to look at just a few things regarding stand and fight. Things that we need to realize, things that we need to know. We see the first thing we need to know, we need to know our enemy. We need to know our enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We see first, our enemy is the devil. The devil is our enemy. The devil is not something that, a cute little figure, you know, just someone that's running around with a pitchfork and a tail. You know, he's real, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy our church. And unfortunately, too many times in America, he's succeeding. You know, and I can't help but think part of the reason is he's so successful is the fact that Christians don't see him as a threat. Christians don't see him as an enemy. They say, "Oh yeah, the devil." Oh, and you think of him like, Vacation Bible School, like the person dressed up like a devil, who was my brother, and I always knew he had it in him, and just running around trying to get you. But the thing is, he's real, and he wants to destroy you. I think if we got nothing else from the sermon tonight, if we got that point, the fact that the devil wants to destroy you, you know what? That would be a help. You say, well, that'd be a help. What do you mean? It's like, well, then you'd be on guard. You'd be looking for him. You'd be vigilant. You know, we go through life and we, and I've mentioned it before, and people nowadays, they walk around with their phones and looking down and not paying attention to anything. You know, I think up in Chicago, I think I mentioned it before. Kids were watching for folks, walking down the street on their phone. They come up and hit them and grab their phones. And you know what they always say? It's like, they came out of nowhere. You know why? They weren't even looking for it. You know, the devil is has the victory so many times in Christians' lives. You know why? Once they fall, they say, well, you know, that old devil, he came out of nowhere. You know why? You weren't even looking for him. You didn't even think he was a threat. But he wants to destroy you. And he wants to destroy your family. But here's the thing. We won't be looking for him. We're not on guard against him. But the thing is, we all know families that he's destroyed. How silly is that? You know, we're not watching for him, but we can name names of folks that whose families were destroyed because they weren't looking for him either. The enemies of the devil, and not only that, the world. James 4:4, last part of the verse, whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We need to be careful we don't let the world come into our families. We don't become friends with the world. You know, yes, as Christians, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We need to reach the world and have a tender heart to see them as folks that need to be saved. But the way to win them isn't to try to see how much we can be like them. There are plenty of those churches around. You walk into them and it looks like you're going into a rock concert. And they're all over the place. What are they doing? They're trying to look like the world to try to win the world. And it's like, what is there that's different? We need to show them that there's something different. There's something better. There is something better. And not only that, the devil, the world, and the flesh. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all know that verse. Oh, what do you say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you know what? Do we guard it? We know that that the flesh is weak, but we're not standing guard. You know that the enemy wants to destroy you, and you're asleep at the post. You know, you need to be on guard, and yet you're just sleeping and not paying attention. We have an enemy. We need to know who it is, and we need to be vigilant to watch for them. Not only that, we see in the passage that we read, not only we need to know your enemy, you need to know your weapons. We see in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's one of our weapons? Prayer. One of our weapons is prayer. You say, well, Pastor, y'all, prayer, here you go again. Talking about praying. talking about prayer and how important it is. And you've said it before, and you said it time and time again. But you know what? It is important. It is important. We need to pray. And we need to realize the importance of it. And we need to be proficient in it. We need to be, that needs to be our go-to weapon. When we're being attacked, we need to pray about it. We need to pray and ask the Lord for strength. You say, pray and ask Him for strength. You know, and I mentioned it just a few weeks ago. Many don't pray when they're attacked. They don't pray and ask for strength. You know why? Because they like what the devil's trying to get them to do. They want a little taste of that. And you say, I just fell into sin again, you know, and they don't really care. You know, there are those when they're attacked that they'll just give up. You know, whether it be in battle or whatever. And you know what? There are others that when they're under attack, they'll fight to the death. They're not going to give up until their last breath. Too many of God's children are the ones that are, I'm under attack. Well, you know, what can I do? We need to pray. That needs to be, we need to, when we're come under attack, when we have a problem, when the devil is trying to attack us, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. But not only that, we have more weapons than that. We see in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. We have God's Word. We need to get in God's Word. We need to read it. We need to memorize it. We need to be thinking about it and meditate on it. You say, well, I'm struggling in this area. Well, then find verses that deal with that and read it. And read them again, and write them down, and work at memorizing, and think about them. Arm yourself. You know, you have the weapons, you just won't pick them up and use them. We need to pray. We need to use the Scripture. There isn't a one of us that couldn't spend more time in God's Word. You say, well, you don't know how long. I know I don't know how long you spend in God's Word. But you know what? We could spend more. And you know, and like I said before, the more you spend in God's Word, the more you realize, you know what? I could use more time in God's Word. You say, well, I spend enough time. You know what? You just told on yourself. You know what you said? You said, well, I don't really spend that much time in God's Word. I spend a little bit, and that's enough. We need to be proficient in our prayer life and in our Scripture reading and looking up those verses, studying them, and finding them that deal with the things we're faced with. Find out what God's Word says. You know what? Maybe every morning, in the different times of the day, read over those verses. Do we want the victory? Or do we just want to roll over in defeat and say, I'm only human. I, you know, no one's perfect, and use all, you know, we all the different things we cliches that are said that basically said, you know what, I failed. So what? We need to pray. We need to read the Scriptures and memorize them and meditate on them. They were given to you. It was written to you. Not only that, we see in verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith. We need to have faith. No, we need to have faith, and once again, we need to not give up. If we pray and we are studying His Word and finding Scripture that helps us and gives us the strength that we need to fight the battle that we're facing, do we have the faith that He'll do it? Do you have faith that He's there for you, that He'll give you the strength you need? Or do you think, it's like, well, I prayed about it a little bit, and what else can I do, whatever. No, we need to have faith that He can do it. Do you believe that He'll help you? Do you believe that God has the ability to help you? He has the ability. And not only that, He wants to help you. You're His child. He cares about you. He loves you. We need to pray. We need to get in the Scriptures. We need to have faith that He can do it and believe that He can. Like I've said several times, most Christians nowadays, their faith is what they can see. I think I said it last week or so. And you say, well, preacher, why do you keep saying that? Because I'm seeing it time and time again. That's why. Like, I'm not talking about Christians that just claim to be Christians and maybe at Easter and Christmas they show up. I'm talking about folks that are there that are faithful people. Folks that are in church. Folks that you say, well, those are faithful Christians, and yet they still, their faith isn't any farther than what they can see, what their human eye can see. Well, I can see how God can work there, then fine, I have faith that it can be done. And the thing is, our faith needs to be bigger than that. If that's all our faith is, we should be ashamed. We read God's Word and all that He's done for the people in the Bible. That's the same God we serve. We sure don't treat Him as such. We'll say we love Him. We'll sing songs of praise and we'll say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And all the songs that talk about faith is the victory. But yet, when we're faced with a problem, a wave of light, when the a storm comes and the waves start crashing, we don't have any more faith than what we can see. We don't believe He'll work miracles, that He'll work miraculously, that He'll work on our behalf and say, you know what? God worked there, and it shows, because there is no other way that could have been done. We want to be, I know that so-and-so, if brother so-and-so gives some money, then that'll be taken, crisis averted. Well, we won't have to worry about that. And I can see how God can move in His heart and give that money and take care of that need. No, we need to have faith that when we're, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a financial need, whatever it is, do we believe that He'll meet it? That do we believe He can do it? We have weapons that, with God's help, we can defeat the devil. And we can defeat, stand against the world. And we can stand up against our flesh. But if we're going to stand and fight, you know what? We need to know also our friends. And you probably know where we're going. Proverbs 18:24. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. We're not in this fight alone. If we're going to stand and fight, you know what? You're not standing there alone. Jesus is standing there right there with you. He's not going to leave you. We say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, there are friends that you may have that are fair weather friends. And they'll stand with you as long as, everything is going well. And if there's something in it for them. But then when the storm comes and you need help and you just need a friend. A lot of times they're nowhere to be found. But you know what? We have a friend, and his name is Jesus. And he's there to walk with us every step of the way. He's provided a way for salvation, and he's there to help us every step of the way. We need to know him. We need to walk close to him. And when those storms come, you know what? I think last week or two, I mentioned we need to not get pulled away from him. We need to draw close to him. In a day-to-day basis, we need to walk as closely as we can. But how much more when we're faced with the storms of life, with those battles? You know, your friends, Jesus, not only that, our Christian friends. Proverbs chapter 27, and I'll turn back there. I had all the other ones marked out, and I don't have this one marked out, but you know what? This is going to be good. We're going to look at this verse. Chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends, of his friend. You know what? Our Christian friends. You know what? We can stay in the fight. You know what? We haven't... Our Christian friends. You know what can help you stay in a fight? Your Christian friends. And you know what you can do? You can be a friend to others too. And you can help them, and you can encourage them to stay in the fight too. What a shame it is when somebody falls by the wayside. And it was like, well, you know, just sit there and like, where are they? Why aren't they here? What happened to them? When we didn't lift a finger to try to help them. We didn't lift a finger to encourage them. And we say, well, the devil got them. The world got them. Well, they were struggling. I knew they were struggling. And I just figured it was just any day now they were going to fall. You know, we wouldn't see them anymore. Well, did you call them? Did you encourage them? Send them a note. I know if you're, depending on how old you are, that you might not even know what that means, you know, or a text or whatever. I think we talked about that on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago. But our Christian friends, and you say, well, you know, I don't have a bunch of friends. Well, you know what? Then you need to thank God for the ones you do have. And you know what? You might not have a bunch of friends, but let me ask you this: how many people call you friend? Do you go around looking? How many friends do I have? And let me write them all down. And maybe you can write them on a little 3x5 card. But you know what? How many people are encouraged by you? Dad was talking about that this morning, just trying to encourage one person. You know what? If you go around, if you encourage one person, you know what that, tomorrow if you encourage one person, you know what that person is going to consider you? One of their friends. You know what? You might know a bunch of people, but not too many of them are encouragers. Not too many at all. And you say, well, you know, not too many people encourage me. Well, you know what? As you walk with Jesus and be thankful for the few friends you might have, but be concerned about you encouraging other folks. Your Christian friends. You know, we need to know your friends. We need to be aware of our enemy and be vigilant. We need to know our weapons, and they are powerful. But we have to use them. And we need to know your friends. Remember that Jesus is there for you. And remember your Christian friends. And be thankful for those that are encouragers to you. And work and have a desire and actively pursue encouraging those around you. And you know what? The list of people that call you friends might be bigger than the list of friends you have. But you know what? The Lord's there to take care of you. He's there to help you. And I think we all know, if you have, what was it somebody said, if they, I don't know who said it and exactly how it was said, regarding friends, it's like if you have one or two close friends, consider yourself blessed. It's along the lines, basically, if you have a couple good friends, encouraging friends, you know what? You're blessed. And you know what? That is true. If you have some, what you might call, you wouldn't call them this, but good quality friends, you know what? You don't need a lot of them. We need to, if you have them, you need to thank God for them. And you need to be an encourager and have it, a desire to encourage others to keep going. We Christians are falling by the wayside every day. We need to do what we can to encourage others and be thankful for those that encourage us. We need to stand and fight. With God's help, we can. And one day we'll stand before Him and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."